And I want to begin just with in Malachi. Malachi 3, verse 10. Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that there will not be room enough to store it. I will prevent pests from devouring your crops, and the vines in your fields will not drop their fruit before it's ripe, says the Lord Almighty. Then all the nations will call you blessed, for yours will be a delightful land, says the Lord Almighty. Who wants that in their life? Who wants, this is amazing. But he says, what does he tell you to do? That we are to bring our tithes and our offerings into his house. There's a condition. As we bring those in, guess what? He opens the doors in our life. Because we have to understand that everything that we have belongs to him. Amen? Even that which he gives to us, provides for us, ultimately belongs to him. We are only stewards. But this it's a beautiful promise. And we often, before we give our tithe, we often pray and declare this very promise, that as we bring our tithes and offerings into the house of the Lord, that he will open. And my wife and I are testimonies that of the promise, that this promises are for real. We have seen the hand, the miracle of God so many times because we have been faithful in the very tithe and offering. And so let us pray. Father God, I just want to thank you for the promises that you have here in Malachi, that Lord, as we, your people, your children, bring our tithes and our offerings into your house, that Lord, that you will open up the floodgates, the windows of heaven, and that you do pour out blessings beyond our wildest dreams to us, Lord God. And so, Lord, we faithfully, we desire to bring that which is yours into your house, and we offer it up to you for your work, for your kingdom, and for your name's sake. And Lord, we just thank you. We thank you for the blessings that await us as we are faithful in that which you call us out to do. In Jesus' most precious and holy name, amen. So we come to my last lesson in the series that we're looking at in Daniel. And this morning I titled this, When God Tests Us with Success. When God tests us with success. And how many of us like success? Anyone that doesn't like success? Anyone here know that God is a God that wants us to be successful? Amen? God is a God of success. And we only have to look at the life of Solomon, a man that asked God simply. He didn't ask God, first of all, for all the money in the world. You remember what he asked? One simple, that he would have the wisdom to gain wealth, to gain prosperity, to gain influence, the wisdom. He didn't ask for the worldly thing. He asked for the wisdom of God. And certainly his life is an example to all of us that God desires success, wealth, prosperity, and influence in our lives. But, you know, certainly there are people that say, you know, even Christians that say, well, isn't money, you know, isn't there something inherently evil about money? Well, that's not true, amen? It's not the money, it's the what? The love. Setting up money as really a god, as an idol. But I want to look at this morning that yes, there God wants us to be successful. God wants to give abundantly to us. Because, you know, when he gives abundantly to his people, he wants us to then sow back into the kingdom and spread that wealth to serve and to bless others, right? But we're going to look here in Daniel 4 that there is a danger. There's a danger in success. There's a danger in allowing wealth to consume us. And we're going to look at that. So we're going to basically look at Daniel 4 this morning. And I want to begin, the context of this is we need to remember that King Nebuchadnezzar was a king of a very powerful, a very prosperous kingdom, Babylon. And if we remember that, what was in Babylon? Anyone hear the Hanging Gardens? It was a tremendous, tremendous, feat in those days. And there's a lot of wealth. There's a lot of knowledge. Very powerful kingdom. And so King Nebuchadnezzar was a very powerful man. He had a lot of wisdom. But he had one problem. You know what his problem was? Pride. Pride. And arrogance. And we're going to look at that and what happened. But if we remember from my last message, the three friends of Daniel, they were thrown into that fiery furnace. And remember that God saved them out miraculously from that furnace, not even touched by the flames, not even a sign of smoke residue. And you remember how Nebuchadnezzar was like, whoa, their God saved them. And so there was a complete change in his heart. And so remember that as we come into this, that he experienced a miracle like no other miracle. And for that very moment, it changed his heart. But we need to see that many times when we see miracles, when we see such things that you would think would just completely change your way of life, and you will continue to go that. But you know, people are fickle. Amen. People are fickle, and you know they celebrate, they move in that, but then all of a sudden they begin to drift away and they go into error. And we're going to see that with King Nebuchadnezzar. So in Daniel chapter 4, verses 1 through 3, says, "To all peoples, nations, and languages that dwell in all the earth, peace be multiplied to you. I thought it good to declare the signs and wonders that the Most High God has worked for me. How great are his signs, and how mighty his wonders. His kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and his dominion is from generation to generation." And so this chapter begins with this powerful testimony from the king, a testimony of acknowledging the sovereignty, the mighty God, that the omnipotent God that saved three men from a furnace that was seven times hotter. Like, you know, the men that were throwing these men into that furnace, if you remember, that they were consumed immediately. And yet God, in his omnipotent and his sovereignty, saved these three men from that furnace. And so here's a testimony. He begins his testimony of God is great. God is almighty. And let us remember who he is. You know, I believe we are living in a generation that God is speaking. God is very clearly speaking to us that, you know, that this story that we're looking at in Daniel, we've come out of a time of that, really, of some prosperity over these years, that God has granted our nation prosperity. Things were going well. And then all of a sudden, guess what hit? That dreaded COVID-19, which just took our nation and really took this world and for a tailspin. And yet there was that prosperity. And as I heard God speaking to my heart, that you know, there was that time, that sense of that there was a calmness, that things were going well. It was really well for us as Christians for a time. There seemed to be, you know, things were being instituted that were in favor of us, and then all of a sudden the COVID-19 hit, and it just took out so much. And then we had the change of regime in the White House, and then that came along, and we've seen so many changes. I mean, changes like flip-flop, like night and day. And just as upheaval. Today, there's just seems like upheaval. And I believe that, you know, God was speaking to my heart that like Daniel's time, that there was a time of prosperity. There was a time of rest. But God was saying to my heart that people were relaxing. People were not being intentional enough. And they were thinking that they were relying on the king. They were relying on the regime that was there. And they were taking their eyes off, for instance, really off, you know, pressing into God and continuing to push in. And so all that kind of flip-flopped, and there was like this like upheaval. You know, God desires for us to keep pressing in, to keep not looking to man, not looking to the king, the ruler, the leader in this world, but God wants us to keep looking to him, because ultimately it's God that holds the keys. It's God that holds everything in his hand. Amen? And so we live in a time, I believe, that God is going to do, is doing a cleansing, is doing a purifying in nations, in our nation, in the nations of this world, because God desires
God desires that those things that would take us aside, would take us off the path. And I believe that in some ways that we in the church have probably gone off. We've allowed the enemy to subtly come back in. Amen? The enemy has come in and starting to take territory, to take over things. And so I want to look at three different things this morning. So the first one I want to look at is what can get us into trouble? What gets us into trouble? And so the point number one I want to look at is that we can get comfortable and we can get complacent. And Daniel chapter 4, verse 4 says, I, Nebuchadnezzar, was at rest in my house and flourishing in my palace. And so here the king is saying, I was at rest in my house. And I know the Bible says there's a rest for God's people. But this rest is it's a different type of rest. This isn't the rest of God. This is a rest that people are just like satisfied in the status quo, satisfied in just surviving, satisfied in the things of this world. And what happens, and I'm sure many of you know, that when we get complacent, when we get comfortable because things are going well. And we rely on what? We rely on what we're doing, our jobs, the things of this world, even the president or the leaders that we have. We can get complacent and just say, well, they're in control. But we found out our leaders are not always in control. Amen? But God is in control. And so there's that danger of allowing ourselves to be complacent, to allow ourselves to just rest in our places, rest in what's going on around us. And many times we fail to really press in and say, God, what could happen? What is coming down the road? You know, I have often found and many times that when things are going well, it's like, many times people only pray when things are going bad, right? They use prayer as kind of like the emergency. And, speaking of prayer, but I think God wants us to be continually praying, not just emergencies, but praying every day and having that continual abiding presence with Him. And because He wants to show us what's ahead, He wants us to press in and to know what direction and to push in and not to be complacent. When we pray, and I have found that out in my own life. When I'm continually praying, and my wife have devotions every morning together. And as we pray and as we have those devotions, it's like that sets up our day. And it keeps us sharp. It keeps us ever present before God. And I know I take every opportunity when I'm on my break and I have an opportunity and I'm walking. I'm continually talking, speaking with God, and I'm saying, Lord, show me, continue to show me what you want me to know, what you want me to see that's coming. Keep me sharp, keep me ever present in your truth. Don't let me be complacent. Don't let me get into that place that I'm resting in my own self and I'm missing out on what you want to do. You see, Nebuchadnezzar, he had a tremendous testimony. He saw a miracle of God and he gave God the credit. But what happened to the king? He allowed other gods, other things to come into his life and he began to drift away slowly to those other gods, to his own desires, his own will. You see, in King Nebuchadnezzar had a problem, and this is a problem that is a big problem. It's a big problem in people. It's a big problem that can be found even in among believers, and that's mixture. You know, the Lord gave me this, this thought that with mixture, that when you have mixture, sometimes in metal, if you have a mixture in a metal, it decreases the qualities of that metal. And sometimes it can make it very brittle. It can make it useless for that purpose. And so, for example, if you have mixtures in silver and gold, what does it do? It cheapens that particular metal. And so, really, God was speaking to me that when we have mixture in our life, it really cheapens our walk. It cheapens our faith because it weakens us. It weakens our walk with Him. And so mixture is a very dangerous thing to have. And so King Nebuchadnezzar had mixture in his life. And we need to make sure that we guard ourselves against allowing mixture in our life. And second of all, we allow pride to take over. Again, as I've mentioned, King Nebuchadnezzar had some pride. In Daniel chapter 4, verse 30, the king spoke, saying, "Is not this great Babylon that I have built for a royal dwelling by my mighty power and for the honor of my majesty?" You can see just the self-centered, the pride there. I have built my mighty power for my majesty. So much danger in allowing ourselves to be, allowing that I. And I was thinking of that word pride. Think of the word pride. P-R-I-D-E. What's the middle letter in that word? I, big I. Pride involves I. Me, myself, and I. You know, the Proverbs has much to say about the danger of pride. In Proverbs 16, verse 5 says, "Everyone proud in heart is an abomination to the Lord. Though they join forces, none will go unpunished." And then James 4, 6 says, "But he gives more grace. Therefore, he says, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble." Pride is a very dangerous thing in our midst. And God has much to say about pride. We need to get rid of that I. We need to get rid of that focus, that centeredness on me, myself, and I. And we, first of all, we need to put it where? Focus, keep our eyes, keep our attention on where it should be. It should be on the Lord. And then from that, as we focus, as we keep that relationship on the Lord, from there, then our focus needs to be what? Others. As long as we keep those two, the vertical focus and then the horizontal focus out from all of us, that pride will not become a problem. It's when we focus on our own problems, when we focus on our own things that we want, that we need, that we desire, then that pride, it's like that door that opens up and that pride comes into us. And then third of all, we stop paying attention to warning signals. In Daniel chapter 4, verses 26 and 27, "And inasmuch as they gave the command to leave the stump and roots of the tree, your kingdom shall be assured to you after you come to know that heaven rules. Therefore, O king, let my advice be acceptable to you. Break off your sins by being righteous, and your iniquities by showing mercy to the poor. Perhaps there may be a lengthening of your prosperity." So I love this. This is really, there's a warning here to the king. And it's saying, break off your sins. Notice there, saying, not the Lord's going to break it off. It's you break off your sins from your life. In other words, you need to walk away from those things that are trapping you, that are getting you to sin. You need to run from those vulnerabilities in your life. Break off those sins by what? Being righteous. And righteous is simply by doing the things that are right. And what are the right things? Living simply according to His Word. And how do we live according to His Word? Well, we have to know what His Word says. Amen? We have to be studiers. We have to be in His Word daily. And then second of all, we need to, it says, to your iniquities by showing mercy to the poor. And so there's that being righteous, put off our sins, but then again, putting our attention to where? Outside of us, to others. How can we help? How can we add value to those around us? As long as we keep those two things in mind, guess what? We're gonna be okay. We're gonna be safe. You know, see, God gave the king Nebuchadnezzar another dream, and Daniel gave this interpretation of this dream. And there was this promise that if the king would listen and obey and adhere to that advice that he was going to give through this dream, the interpretation, that his prosperity would continue. But if he did not obey, if he went on his own way, God said that surely your prosperity, your success would come to an end. And I just love this, that, you know, that thought of humbleness. It's so very important. We hear a lot about that in the Christian walk, that God wants us to remain humble. Remain humble. And how do we do that? How do we remain humble? And one of the things that I always Lord reminds me of is that we need to remember that where we began, that we all began, that at one time we all were walking away from the Lord. He came to us. He revealed himself to us. He showed us who we really were. And so remembering how far we were from God, how far we had fallen. Maybe some of us were in the gutter and God lifted us up. And so always remembering how low we were, how low our sin has brought us, and where God has brought us to. And just reminded that it's only God that did that for us. And Daniel chapter 4, verse 27 says, "Therefore, O king, let my advice be acceptable to you." Oh, actually, I just read that. So Proverbs 14, 21 says, "He who despises his neighbor sins, but he who has mercy on the poor, happy is he." And then Proverbs 14, 31, "He who oppresses the poor reproaches his maker, but he who honors him has mercy on the needy." And so there's the two things that we need to do is to repent before the Lord, and then to begin to serve the poor, to serve those that are around us. And then number four, and this is a danger that many people have. We don't do what we know we should do. We may hear the word of God. We may hear a great message, a great sermon, a great teaching, and we walk out and we say, "That was so great." And yet, are we living? Are we walking out that which we have heard, that the Lord has shown us? Are we living out? Are we walking the truth out? And so there are many that hear the word of God. And so here in Daniel chapter 4, verses 31 to 33 says, "While the word was still in the king's mouth, a voice fell from heaven, 'King Nebuchadnezzar, to you it is spoken, the kingdom has departed from you, and they shall drive you from men, and your dwelling shall be with the beasts of the field. They shall make you eat grass like oxen, and seven times shall pass over you, until you know that the Most High rules in the kingdom of men, and gives it to whomever he chooses. That very hour the word was fulfilled concerning Nebuchadnezzar. He was driven from men and ate grass like oxen. His body was wet with the dew of heaven till his hair had grown like eagle's feathers and his nails like bird's claws." And so this dream came to pass that he had. It was kind of like a prophetic dream because God knew what his choice was. But it's a real shame that here's a man, here's a king that was over the most powerful kingdom. God gave him a second chance after he threw the three men into the fire and he proclaimed that God is the God of these three men of Israel. And he somehow turned, and yet he forgot. He forgot that what God had done. He forgot his humble beginnings, that he was humbled and he allowed pride to come in. He forgot what he should do. He forgot the warnings that God gave to him. And so there are three steps to recovery. Three steps to recovery that God offers to anyone when they fall, when they stumble. And as we read there, that God was still offering a opportunity to come back. And he does that for each and every one of us. That when we do fall, when we do stumble, and we do, every one of us stumble and fall from time to time, God is always there and saying there is a way back, that there is a remedy to come back. Number one, look up to God. Daniel 4:34 says, "And at the end of the time, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted my eyes to heaven, and my understanding returned to me." Look up to God. And so just as a king, after he was rejected, after he went through that time, that humbling, being brought so low, he remembered. And he came back and looked upon God and said, "God, you're right. God, there is no one like you." He lifted up his eyes to heaven. And what happened? That understanding came back to him. Second of all, we need to wake up to God's greatness and start worshiping him. And here in verse 34 again, "And I blessed the Most High and praised and honored him who lives forever." And so there's that not just acknowledging him, not just keeping our eyes upon him, but we need to have that constant praise and worship to him. It's that keeps that door for pride, that door of pride that keeps that closed, keeps our where our perspective and where our emphasis, our focus needs to be. Pride and praise. And I want to quickly just read Deuteronomy 8. And this is a great passage
that most of us have probably have read.
Deuteronomy 8 says, "Be careful to follow every command I am giving you today, so that you may live and increase and may enter and possess the land the Lord promised on oath to your ancestors. Remember how the Lord your God led you all the way in the wilderness these 40 years to humble and test you in order to know what was in your heart, whether or not you would keep his commands. He humbled you, causing you to hunger and then feeding you with manna, which neither you nor your ancestors had known, to teach you that man does not live on bread alone, but by on every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. Your clothes did not wear out, and your feet did not swell during these 40 years. Know then in your heart that as a man disciplines his son, so the Lord your God disciplines you. Observe the commands of the Lord your God, walking in obedience to him and revering him. For the Lord your God is bringing you into a good land, a land with brooks, streams, and deep springs gushing out into the valleys and hills. A land with wheat and barley, vines and fig trees, pomegranates, olive oil, and honey. A land where bread will not be scarce and you will lack nothing. A land where the rocks are iron and you can dig copper out of the hills. When you have eaten and are satisfied, praise the Lord your God for the good land he has given you. Be careful that you do not forget the Lord your God, failing to observe his commands, his laws, and his decrees that I'm giving you this day. Otherwise, when you eat and are satisfied, when you build fine houses and settle down, and when your herds and flocks grow large, and your silver and gold increase, and all you have is multiplied, then your heart will become proud, and you will forget the Lord your God, who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. He led you through the vast and dreadful wilderness, that thirsty and waterless land, with its venomous snakes and scorpions. He brought you water out of the hard rock. He gave you manna to eat in the wilderness, something your ancestors had never known, to humble and test you so that in the end it might go well with you. You may say to yourself, my power and the strength of my hands have produced this wealth for me. But remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you the ability to produce wealth. And so confirm his covenant, which he swore to your ancestors, as it is today. If you ever forget the Lord your God and follow other gods and worship and bow down to them, I testify against you today that you will surely be destroyed. Like the nations the Lord destroyed before you, so you will be destroyed for not obeying the Lord your God." Just a beautiful picture of really what God is asking us to do. And that is simply not to forget him, to continue to worship him so that it may go well. It's a very, you know, Christianity is, it's not complicated, is it? We keep in obedience to him. We keep our eyes focused on him. We remember that everything that we have comes from him, that he gives us the power to gain wealth. He gives us everything that we have. And as long as we do that, he says here, simply, it will go well. He will prosper us. It's when we go off on our own, when we focus on ourselves, what we can do, what we have done, then we come into trouble. And then third of all, King Nebuchadnezzar began to speak to others about the Lord, about the goodness of the Lord. And Daniel 4, verses 1 to 2 says, Nebuchadnezzar the king, to all the peoples, nations, and languages that dwell in all the earth, peace be multiplied to you. I thought it good to declare the signs and wonders that the Most High God has worked for me. And I believe that's what God wants us to do. He wants us to be testimony. A testimony of what? Of his signs and wonders, of what he's done in our life. He wants us to go and share that with everyone. Because, you know, when we share that, when we share what God has done for us, people are like, whoa, I want that. I want a part of that. And it attracts them to the things of God. And so I want to close in this final thought. So what will stabilize our life? What will bring stability in our life? And number one is that we need to know that God's kingdom will outlast everything in life. God's kingdom is eternal, and everything that is eternal will outlast that which is temporal. The things that we are going through today, the problems, the mistakes, the things in this world, the physical things, guess what? Those will vanish. But the thing that I want us to remember is that if we invest in the eternal, if we invest in people's lives, if we invest that time in our own life to study, to spend time with God, to meditate on His Word, that stuff is eternal and cannot be taken from us. Amen? And that's what's going to sustain us. The things in this world, you know, they're going to rust, they're going to decay, but the things of God are eternal and they will remain with us. Second of all, we need to remember God's approval matters more than others. God's approval matters more than others. In Daniel 4:35, all the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing. He does according to His will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth. No one can restrain His hand or say to Him, "What have you done? What have you done?" So we need to remember that you know, it's so easy to look to approval of man. Amen? How many of us have looked to approval of man before, you know, our bosses and all that? But you know, ultimately, our approval needs to come from God. And how many of us want to hear God say, "Well done, good and faithful servant"? And I believe that God wants us to hear that every day. Every day He wants, how many of you want to hear every day, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You've served me well today. Serve me well today." And then third, God's power is absolute. God's power is absolute. He does according to His will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth. No one can restrain His hand. God's power is absolute. And we need to remember that. You know, in as we go through troubles, as and even in success, you know, remembering that it's God. It's God that gives us success. It's God that gives us that power. It's God that gives us that authority. That's not from us. And keep our eyes on Him. And then finally, this is so important. So important. God never makes mistakes. You and I, we're not mistakes. Amen? God never makes mistakes. And no matter what is happening around us, we may not understand it. We may not understand what God is doing at that time. But we do need to remember that even in the midst of all that is going on, the struggles, what seems to be chaos, we need to remember that God is in the midst of that. And it may seem like a mistake, but God is working. God is moving. God has a plan and a purpose to make sure that we are successful, that we are prosperous, that we understand that God wants to use us in so many ways. Amen.